going to talking about how that we believe and we sprung out of it. We're all raising up in the body of Christ that are starting to deal with us about what's coming out of our mouths. Our mouth being a product of our faith. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Praise God. The book of Habakkuk. And I should have been there before y'all. Amen. But I'm sitting over here talking, ain't I? Somebody say praise the Lord. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 2. Chapter 2 and verse 4. On the count of three, let's read that together. 1, 2, 3. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. By whose faith? His faith. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, you have to have personal faith. Your own faith. You can't survive and live by your pastor's faith, your husband's faith, your wife's faith, amen, your neighbor's faith. You have to have your own faith, amen. Come on, somebody say amen. Now turn to Romans chapter 1, verse 17. Why do I keep going over these scriptures? Because the Bible said faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. I know it says hearing by the word of God, but when you look at it in the Greek, it literally means hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. Amen? Romans chapter 1, verse 17. How many faith has been increasing over the last month, literally? I'm telling you, you know, all the Bible says all the promises of God are yes and amen to those who believe, to those who believe. And the word believe, you're going to learn tonight, the word believe is a synonymous word to the word faith. It's the word pistio. And the word faith is pistis, and the word believe is pistuio. Oh, I can't really pronounce it right, but they're synonymous words. Both of them mean to have confidence or trust or dependence or reliance upon God and or his word. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Amen? Now let's look at Romans chapter 1, verse 7. Look at 17. Verse 16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel or the good news of the anointed one, Jesus. That's what the word Christ stands for, Messiah or the anointed one. For it is the power of God unto salvation, sozo, unto healing, unto deliverance, unto prosperity, unto the ministering spirits operating on behalf of you. To everyone that believeth, to everyone that what? Believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Verse 17, for therein or in it, in what? The gospel is the what? Righteousness of God revealed. Greek word apokalupta means it's uncovered, the righteousness of God. And it's uncovered from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by? The just shall live by what? Now, the word live literally means to live and to cause to live. That means that faith is your life source. As a Christian, faith is your life source. Faith ain't what church you go to. Faith is the very currency of the kingdom of God. Just like in the natural system of Babylon and confusion that we live in right now, this system of the world, the currency of this system is money or finances. You make transactions by money. But in the kingdom of God, all transactions that are made from heaven to earth. Come on, somebody say heaven to earth. All of that is made by faith. Somebody say faith. That, what is faith? The Bible says in Hebrews that faith is the substance. Take it and say faith is substance. It's the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things that is not seen. That means when I have faith in God's word, in the physical realm, I could not see what I'm hoping for, but the faith gives me the ability to endure until I see it in the natural realm. That means if my husband or my wife is acting like a knucklehead and I'm seeing in the natural they acting like a knucklehead, my faith will give me the ability to say, the Bible says, what therefore God had joined together, let no man put asunder. So now I put my trust in something that I can't see. I put my trust in God's word. When I put my trust in God's word, now I can endure when I'm going through this trial. Why? Because this thing that's on the inside of me, it soon becomes bigger than what I see out here. Come on, somebody say amen. That's what faith is. Faith is reliance upon God and or his word, regardless of what your natural condition or situation may look like. Somebody say amen to this. 2 Corinthians 5 and 7. This is my favorite one here. See, we need this in these times, because if you turn on the news, they're telling you all kind of bad news. Psalm 112 tells us that we will not be afraid of evil reports. Our heart is fixed, trusting, relying, leaning, dependent upon the Lord. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Look what it says here. On the count of three, let's read it. 1, 2, 3. For we walk by faith and not by sight. The word walk is the Greek word peripatio, which means to constantly beat a path by walking it consistently. Watch this right here. It literally means to live habitually. I live habitually in the realm or the arena of faith and not by sight. Come on, say that. Say, I live habitually in the realm of faith and not by sight. See, if you live by sight, then you can have no hope, especially in these times right here. If you live by sight. Are we going somewhere? Turn to 2 Corinthians. John chapter 20. John chapter 20. St. John chapter 20. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, it's going to get good. You know, when I worked in a nursing home, I have to tell you this. Years ago, after I got born again, I had no real skills. But there was a friend that I grew up with, and he lives in this city. And him and I, you know, I lived off and on between Detroit and Belleville, Michigan. And his brother was a quadriplegic, and his brother was paralyzed from the neck down. And I had no skills, but we would all get drunk and get high. And I would sit, and I would take care of him and change him and different things of that nature. You know what I mean? And then when I got my life and gave it over to God, what happened is I had no skills, but then I found that I had these things called CNA, Certified Nurse Assistant. So I said, well, man, that's exactly what I was doing with so-and-so when I was taking care of him. So I decided to go into that area, and I wanted to be a paramedic, but because of my substance abuse background, they wouldn't allow me to go into school in that area and get a job or get licensed in that area. So what happened is I was kind of capped off. But I brought this up for a reason, because when we was in a nursing home, they taught us something. They said, do not give the people what is called false hope. False hope. False hope is that if that person has cancer, don't you go in there praying for them and telling them they can be healed by the stripes of Jesus. And see, that's how the world trains your mind. I brought that up for a minute because guess what? In the world, there is no hope. Amen. The divorce rate is up on high. Kids are divorcing their children. Amen. People are starting businesses and they're going bankrupt within 2 years. In the world system, there is no hope. But what we're teaching you here is that we are kingdom citizens. Come on, somebody say amen. You're not moved by the sway of what the world is doing right now. Just because it's happening to the world doesn't mean that it has to happen to us. Why? Because we have to build and develop a close, intimate, personal relationship with Jesus. Guess what? I told you Sunday, if God got to fly over the top of my house with a dirty black bird to drop me off a bucket of chicken, he gonna take care of who belongs to him. I can promise you that. It might not be the way that you think he should take care of you, but he'll take care of his own. Come on, somebody say amen to that. I'm telling you the truth. He will take care of you. Amen. You might be eating ramen noodles, but you're going to eat. I'm just playing around, amen. St. John chapter 20, verses 24 through 29. Look what it says here. It says, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, which means twin, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciple therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not what? I will not believe. See, some people are just sight-oriented. We're going to get you past that. Come on, say, we're going to get past that. Verse 26 says, after 8 days, again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, behold my hand. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not what? Faithless. But what? Believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord, my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are those that have not seen me, and yet they believe. What? Now, we're going to bring this thing out just a little bit here, right here. He said, blessed are those who can believe without seeing. Blessed are those, happy, fortunate, empowered to prosper are those who can believe without seeing. That means if your natural circumstance is not conducive for what your situation is, guess what? You still have something higher that you can believe in the midst of that natural thing not being what you're expecting. Are you catching what I'm saying here? Now, let's watch what it says here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. Now, turn there right quick. What is the evidence that we believe without seeing? Now, we learned this on Sunday, but we're going to sledgehammer this thing in your spirit. What is the evidence that I believe when I can't see it in the natural realm? We're going to show it to you right here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. When you get there, somebody say, praise the Lord. Now, here's what I want you to do. On the count of three, I want us all to read it together so we can all have it. This is the evidence that I am a believer. Come on, say this. Say, this is the evidence that I am a believer. Verse 13, 1, 2, 3. We having the same spirit of faith. Stop right there. Here is the spirit of faith. Here is the indication that you have faith. Faith is not determined by what church you go to. There's a whole lot of people that are in church that have no faith at all. Faith is a product of the word of God consistently being deposited in your inner man. Romans chapter 10 verse 17 says that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So faith only comes by hearing what God says. Now this is real powerful here because a lot of people won't take this, but I'm going to bring it to you. Take it and say, he's going to bring it to you. Tell you, say, pastor ain't scared to give it to you. You're not scared. I move past scared now. Amen. I'm past that. That's where it's out the door. We're just going to give it to you. Amen. If you read when he says by the word of God, it's the Greek word rhema, which means spoken word of God. That means when you hear a man of God who's been called to preach the word of God, it'll confirm with what you've been studying, what you've been praying, what you've been fasting about, and that faith will hit your human spirit and you'll step out into the unseen, out into the unknown, believing and doing what God said. Not based upon your pocketbook, not based upon what everybody else say you can or cannot do, but based upon what God says. Because, see, God will do things that you think you cannot do. Jesus walking on the water, they were scared, fearing it was a ghost. And Peter said, look here, if it be you, bid me to come with you on the water. Peter walked on the water. I'm just trying to show you something here. Glory be to God. Now, let's look at this right here. The same spirit of faith. Count of three, let's finish that according. One, two, three. According as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I. We also, and therefore we what? The indication that you are in faith is that you're releasing what you believe by what you say. The indication that you are in faith is that you're releasing what you believe by what you say. I'm going to say it again. The indication that you are in faith is that you're releasing what you believe by what you say. I can tell what you believe by what you say. Now, you can come to church and raise your hand on Sunday and Wednesday, and you can tell me on Sunday and Wednesday, I'm believing God. But then Monday and Tuesday and Thursday and Friday, when that devil's smacking you upside your head and hitting you in your throat, amen, what's coming out of your mouth? Come on, somebody say amen. I'm just going to talk real to y'all tonight, amen. Go to verse 18. On the count of three, let's read it. You there? One, two, three. While we look at the things which are, but at the things which are, for the things that are temporal. Now circle that word temporal. That word temporal means that they are subject to change. Now I want you to think about three or four things that the devil been beating you upside the head about. That situation is subject to change. You know? Right in the midst of us trying to get this building, I thought everything was locked down, Vince knows, and then poof, something popped up that was out of our control. And to me, in my spirit, I thought to myself, we're not going to get it. But out of my mouth, I kept saying, it belongs to us. And to fortify my faith, asked my wife, I went through the word of God, meditated, prayed, and got me 6 or 7 scriptures. Put them things in my spirit until I started believing. And I start confessing them. I contacted other people, said, this is what we're believing God for. Amen. And guess what? We got the building now. Praise God. Somebody say, amen. Your temporary situation that you're going through can be changed. Sickness and disease is temporary. In the mind of God, it's temporary. You and I have to get it in our spirit and believe that he is still a healer. Poverty is temporary. We got to get it in our spirit and believe that he's still a provider. We sing the song, Jehovah Jireh, my provider. But then when it comes time we're going through the battle, do we really believe that he's Jehovah Jireh or Jehovah Yireh? Do we really believe that he's our source and not our job? Amen. When the doctor done gave us a negative report about our body and said, you know, you got hepatitis B, hepatitis C, you got this and you got that and you got this and that. You know, whose report are you going to believe? See, the spies that went into the promised land, 10 of them came back and they brought back a negative report. But two of them went out there and they saw the giants, but they saw the fruit. See, some people got to be more fruit-minded, more fruit-oriented rather than giant-minded. Because guess what? You're not going to get into the promised land based upon your ability. You're getting into the promised land based upon God's ability. Based upon you believing that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above what he asks, what you ask or think according to the power that works in us. Amen? Take him and say, God is good all the time. Now, watch this right here. Go an example of believing. Words determine our believing, and words are our ultimate weapon that we have. Words are. Somebody say, words are. Words are. Now, let me just validate that. Turn to Matthew chapter 12, because a lot of times people have problems believing that death and life is in the power of the tongue. You know, they're like, Pastor, that's figuratively. Well, let's see what Jesus said about it. When you see it written in red, you know Jesus is the one that said it, right? Matthew chapter 12, let's look at verse 33. I want you to circle this down. See, this right here help you. You know, this helped me and my wife a lot. Help us with our staff, my kids. I'm always talking to people about words. Am I not, Rosie? You know why? Because, see, you know, the Bible says if two of you, somebody say two of you. If two of you touch and agree on anything, Jesus said, I'm there in the midst of you, and you can have whatever you're agreeing on. Now, watch this right here. That's why the enemy tries to separate marriages. That's why I try to separate churches, try to separate businesses, because the place of agreement is the place of power. So if we can get two people to agree with what Jesus said, we got some power. Come on, somebody say amen. If we can get two people to agree with what Jesus said, we got some power. And most of the time, we don't agree because we're selfish. Come on, somebody say we're selfish. I'm the man and I want to be right. And she the woman and she want to be stubborn and right. Somebody say amen. You look at me like that woman. I'm playing around. But y'all know I'm telling the truth. But guess what? It don't matter if I'm right or if she right. What matters is if God is right. Because guess what? I thought we were supposed to humble ourselves. So I humbled myself up under the mighty hand of God. She humbled herself up under the mighty hand of God. Both of us agree with what God says. And guess what? Now we got some power. Now whatever we put our hand to is going to prosper. Come on, somebody say amen. But guess what? We can have the promise from God, and I'm over here disagreeing, she over here disagreeing, and we ain't getting nowhere but down the road of frustration. Amen. I'm not talking about me and Pastor Rosie. We pretty much conquered that. Tell your neighbor, say, no strife in my life. Amen. Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. It says, either make the tree good, his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his what? 34, generation of vipers. Take neighbor and say, how can you being evil? Question, how can you being evil speak good things? It's impossible to be evil at heart and say the right stuff. Because the situation will show you who you really are. I'm telling you, you can only wear the church face for an hour and a half on Sunday. But when people see you out at Applebee's, they're going to see who you really are. Come on, somebody say amen to this. Amen. And you can't blame what's coming out of your mouth on nobody else but you. It was an old rap group back in the day. They had a song called Just Me, Myself, and I. That's who the problem is. Come on, somebody say, me, myself, and I. See, if your heart is wrong, your heart is wrong. All we're trying to do is get you to help you to understand, you know what, I need some help. Come on, somebody say amen. See, there's some things in my life that I just come to the Lord and I said, Lord, I said, you know what, I like this and I need some help. You got to help me. And I quote the scripture on them. Lord, you said in Romans 8 and 26, likewise also the Spirit helpeth mine infirmity. So I go to praying in the Spirit because I need some help. You told me in Hebrews chapter 4 that if I come boldly and confidently and fearlessly before the throne of grace, that you will help me. I need some help. But you know what? We wrong when we think that what's coming out of our mouth is everybody else's problem. Come on, somebody say amen. I just have to be a good pastor and bring that out because I just want to challenge you. Because a lot of people say, well, I said that because you made me say that. No, you didn't say it because of me. You said it because it was in your heart. You remember Jack in the Box, bang, and he bounced up. Amen. Whatever. Don't da 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 da. Whatever's in there is gonna boing, it's gonna bounce up. I'm gonna preach to the wall back here again. Stay your neighbor and say, neighbor, that's good teaching right there. Now let's see what Jesus said about it. He said, for out of the what? Abundance of the heart, the mouth speak. Look at verse 35. A good man out of the good treasure. That word treasure means deposit. Good deposit out of his heart bring forth good things. Evil man out of the evil what? Deposit bringeth forth evil things. Now look at 36 and 37. But I say unto you that every idle word that man shall what? They shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. See, a lot of people think this is talking about when you and I stand before God. No. Every time you get in a situation is your day of judgment. I'm just showing you something right here. Every time you're in a situation or a circumstance, you know, the children of Israel, here's the bush. Somebody say, here go the bush. Now, they 40 years kept going around the same bushes. You know why they kept going around the same bushes? Because there was something that God wanted them to learn that they wasn't grasping. See, God is the kind of God that will not allow you and I to skip steps. He's graceful, but he ain't going to allow you to skip steps. So if you don't conquer it, guess what? You're going to keep going around that same bush. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. He wants us to learn something. Because God is more concerned about our character than he is about our giftings and our talents and our ability. Come on, somebody say amen. Look at that. Verse 37. For by thy words thou shalt be what? The word justified means freed, liberated, declared righteous. By your what? Your words. By your what? Look at this. And by your words you shall be condemned. That word condemned means to be judged. By your own words. Amen. So tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, my words have absolute power. Now, let's look here. So we learn that words determine our believing, and words are our ultimate weapon that we have. If you could change your words, you can change your life. I'm telling you this right now. If you could change your words, I mean, psychologically, we have learned that if you could change your words, you could change your life. Your words are exposed thoughts. Your thoughts is your mental, your mindset. Proverbs 23 says, as a man thinketh, so is he. We are a direct reflection of how we think. So when I release a word, I'm releasing a exposed thought. Are you catching what I'm saying? So if I could change my thoughts and I could change my words, guess what? I could change my life. Come on, get the Lord a hand clap for that. Watch this. This thing is set up, listen, it's set up where it don't matter what side of the tracks you're on. Doesn't matter whether you're white, you're black, you're fat, you're skinny, you're ugly, or you're good looking like me. It don't even matter. It don't even matter where you come from. It'll work for you. Amen. Amen. Look at Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, turn there. Romans chapter 4. This is powerful right here. Romans chapter 4, verses 16 through 20. Take your name and say, neighbor, all things. All things. What's left over after all? Say all things. All things. Take your name and say, neighbor, take the limits off. Get God out of that box. We done dressed him up. Put some Stacey Adams on them and put them in the box. Get God up out the box. Amen. Verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace that to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that which is of what? Faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he what? Circle that. He did what? Even God, and he who quickened it. The word quicken means give life to. He quickened it the dead. That means he gives life to dead things. That's God's way of doing things. Give life to dead things and call it. Somebody say call it. He calleth those things that be not as though they were. He don't look at the situation and call it what it is. He calls it to be as though it be not as though it were. Now watch this right here. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered. Somebody say considered. I want you to look at that word considered and never forget it ever in your life. Circle it. He considered not his own body now dead when he was about how old? 100 years old. My God, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he had what? Promised, he was able also to perform. Glory be to God. Now look at this. Here we have a story of a man who was 100 years old. His wife was about 100 years old, past the age of being able to conceive a child. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. But God had spoke a word to him. God had given him a promise. And he told him, he said, Abram, high father, you're going to be Abraham, or Abraham, which means father of many nations. Now, here is this guy. He told him that at 75 years old, it took him almost 26 years before the promise manifested. I'm trying to show you something. The Bible said this man patiently endured, believing that what God said he would do, he was able to do it. The Bible tells us that through faith and patience, we inherit the promises of God. See, your promise ain't based upon the condition of your world out there. Your promise is based upon the condition of your world in here. I'm going to say that again. Your promise is not based upon the condition of your world out there. Your promise is based upon the condition of your world in here. See, when your world in here gets bigger than what's out there, then guess what? Heaven got to manifest. You got to catch what I'm saying. It has got to manifest. Not based upon how well your bank account is or how good your FICO score is. Because guess what? Everybody's is messed up. It's all a trick anyhow. You better catch what I'm saying. It ain't based upon what color you are, what side of the tracks you came on. It's based upon how well you get God's word on the inside of you. And see, when you get that word in, you start painting a new mental picture. What happens is that this in here gets bigger than what this is out here. And all of a sudden, I got to break through every limitation that's trying to hold me back. Why? Because God gave me a promise. Glory to God. I'm trying to tell you something. I'm trying to tell you, you are anointed to make this city look like the Garden of Eden. I can give you 4 Bible scripture promises to prove it. That every single house on the east side, all of a sudden the grass going to start growing right. All of a sudden people going to start painting their garages, painting their fences. Why? Because the anointing will remove the burden and destroy the yoke. I'm telling you. I don't care what it looked like. Jesus is Lord. And whenever Jesus shows up in a city, in a nation, in a world, he violates time, he violates space, he violates matter. And guess what? We are the body of the anointed one, Jesus. Enough is out for us complaining about what's going on. Amen. I told somebody the other day, I said, get your Bible and read Ephesians chapter 1. Go down to verses 20 through 23. And the Bible says in the Message Bible that guess what? The world, we are not peripheral to the world, but the world is peripheral to the church. The word peripheral means a slave. That means you and I got the ability to step up and pull everything back into divine order. But we do that by faith. You can't do that based upon how well you read or write or how educated you are. You do that based upon the anointing. Somebody said the anointing. It's the anointing that removes the burden. Glory be to God. It's like, have you ever went to a church and you heard somebody sing and they can sing really good? You know what I mean? They one of them singers that when they sing, they and they pull it back in, but there's no anointing. They sing good. And I used to go to Christian Life Center Church, and it was this Caucasian sister. She's like a mom to me. Her name is Marsha Rendell. She couldn't sing worth a lick. But she'd sit up there with that big, long homage dress on, look like. And she'd be smiling, clapping. I'm telling you what, I wasn't paying attention to nobody else but her, because that woman was anointed. And she's still anointed. Now, I'm not telling you if you can't sing, you can get up there, because we really don't want you up there. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm not trying to say that. Minister Page, like, thanks for clearing that up, Pastor. I'm not trying to say that. Amen. What I'm trying to What I'm trying to say is this right here. It's the anointing that makes the difference. It's the anointing that makes the difference. And I'm going to tell you something. The anointed, watch this. The anointing is attracted to faith. I'm going to say it again. Smith Wigglesworth said, God has the ability to jump over a million people just to get to one that will touch him through faith. I'm trying to tell you this right here. We're talking about somebody who raised 21 people from the dead. 17 of them documented in history. Let me read this for you right here. This one is good right here. The Message Bible says right here. It says, Abraham was first named father and then became a father. I'm going to say, he was first named father. Then he became a father because he dared to trust God to do what only God could do. Raise dead to life. With a word, make something out of nothing. What am I saying right here? That if you and I believe, let's just agree with God. Come on, say amen. Let's Julie teased me. She said, it was Julie or somebody said, I could tell you listen to Bill Winston because you said, say amen. So I said, I got to start training myself to switch it up because I got my little cliche that I said, you better catch what I'm saying. Amen. So are you catching what I'm saying? Amen. See, if we believe God, we got to say what he say. Say, if I believe God, I got to say what he say. Have you ever been in an atmosphere in the room and you could be smiling with a person and everything is going well and all of a sudden they grab their shovel and they start digging up bad memories? All of a sudden the whole atmosphere shift. How many know what I'm talking about? Words are spirit. John 6:63, Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. I'm trying to tell you something right here. Okay? Don't go digging it up. Don't go talking about it. It just don't work. Well, we need to talk it out. We need to figure it out and get it fixed and everything. No, you don't need to talk it out. What you need to do, you know what I'm saying, is just let the Lord deal with it. Because you and I figured this out after 22 years. I can't change that woman. And she can't change me. And when we get into trouble, we try to change each other. You know what I mean? We like puppet masters. We get everybody around us that we can control. You know what I mean? And then once they buck against us, we like, get out of here. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Everybody that we can control, tell you, they say control freak. Control freak. See, you can't control. God wants you to be controlled. He wants you to be controlled, led, and governed by the Holy Spirit. My God, and when you submit wholeheartedly to the Holy Spirit, guess what? You won't want to control nobody else. Come on, get the Lord a hand clap for that. I'm going to finish right now. Abraham was first named father. Then he became father. That means that guess what? If you want to become something, agree with what God said about you. Start calling things that be not as though they were. My God, look at this right here. Mark 9:23. Let's see how many things are possible. Turn it real fast. I got one more scripture and we're done. Mark 9:23. When you get there, somebody say, praise God. You there? Say, praise God. Let's read it. Count to three. 1, 2, 3. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst, all things are to him that. How many things? Now, what is in your life that looks like it's an impossibility? Come on. You know, I love when God does things and things are conquered and he brings believers together to make things happen. You know what I mean? See, I'm just showing y'all my heart. My wife could tell you there were certain times where I felt like that building was impossible because all of my past start coming up. You know, here you are, a young black man, and you got this bad background 20 years ago, and people are not going to think that you deserve it. And come on, somebody say, man, raise your hand if you ever felt like that. You know what I mean? You don't fit the description of, you know what I'm saying? But God know what he's doing. All things. Somebody say all things. All things. All things. All things. What are you going through? I'm just trying to encourage you. What is it that you're going through? What are you going through? Is it health? Is it money? Is it marriage? All things. God will open a door that no man can shut. Yes. He'll shut doors that no man can open. See, sometimes you just got to sit back and say, I told my wife yesterday, I said, God loves me. Sometimes I got to convince myself, to remind myself that he loves me. Because guess what? The world paints the picture of God beating you up. You know what I'm talking about. He's standing up there with his almighty whacker. You know what I'm saying? And he's waiting for Joe just to say the wrong thing. Joe, why your eyes so big? Bah! I'm just joking. I love you, bro. That's my little brother. And see, guess what? Most of the time, God's whacker is us. Other believers beating up on each other. Come on, somebody say amen. You know, a Sunday I preached about a wonderful man of God, a wonderful pastor. And I mean, this man, I listened to him a few times because, I mean, he just was a preacher. And I told everybody the story about him. And then Minister Page and her husband, they sent me a text and let me know that that night he was found dead. And automatically people starting to judge. What did he do? Why did he die? What is this? And what is that? What is that? 42 years old. And what did I do? I set my chair and I cried. I start crying from my gut and I said, Rosie, I said, I feel for his family. I feel for him. And I said, guess what? I feel for other pastors because they don't know what we go through. People don't know what pastors go through. You know what I mean? That man was somewhere depressed, you know, turned to whatever he turned to, you know what I mean? And it killed him. 7,500 members. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm trying to show you something. You know what I mean? Brother Vince said to me, he said, you know, we ought not be beating up on each other. We helping the devil. Come on, somebody say amen. Don't be caught with the devil's bat in your hand. Swinging on the person that's supposed to be your brother, your sister. Amen. Amen. Last scripture. I just want to encourage you. You know, I had a powerful pastor. I got different mentors that are in my life that are pastors. And this particular pastor sent me this scripture, and I read it 100 times. I preached it, but this time it came alive. My God, Romans chapter 10, verse 11. Turn there. I'm going to encourage you with this, and then we can go home. I went over 20 minutes over my time. Please forgive me. Don't pull out the bat on me. I'm sorry, y'all. Did y'all get encouraged tonight? Come on, somebody give God some praise. Amen. I just want to encourage you. You know, I got a newfound heart for pastors. I'm a pastor. You know what I mean? I got about 11 or 12 of them that I'm praying for. Because you know what? It's easy to look at what they done. But you know what? You never judge a person by what they done. Because there's something bigger than the what they done. It's why they done it. What happened to them? What happened in their life to make them not just pastors, anybody? Come on, somebody say amen. You know what I mean? If you and I did everything we thought about, we all be going to hell. Just being honest. Tell your neighbor, say, I love Jesus for his grace and his mercy. Because I tell you what, I had some stuff cross my mind sometime. I'd be like, boy, you Al Capone or what? It just, you know, you wonder where that stuff come from. Come on, somebody say amen. You know what I mean? That stuff get in your mind. You know what I mean? And then somebody else, they don't know how to control it, and they actually act it out, and then we judge them. I thought God so loved the world that he gave his one begotten son that whoever would believe on him would not perish but have life everlasting. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be made whole. You and I are the agents of salvation. The Bible says, to wit, God was in Christ reconciling man unto himself, and he has given us the ministry of reconciliation. The word reconcile means to make one again. You got to catch what I'm saying. Our job ain't to separate people from God. It's our job to make them one with God again. That's what the Bible calls it, the glad tidings or the good news. That means that no matter what you do, you ain't fazing me. Listen, you could be smoking on the smoky smoke and sipping on a scissor, and you can be jumping around from one house to the next. And every time you see me, I'm going to tell you, God loves you. Why? Because I know he loves you. Because guess what? He loved me when I was sipping on a scissor. You better catch what I'm saying. So I'm telling everybody, God love them. Now, what you do with his love, that's your business. But I know what I did with it. I got tired of living like I was living and don't want to live like it no more. Every time I think that out there got something for me, I have to remind myself when I was laying back on that cot on Palms Avenue in Southwest Detroit, and the drug guy came up to me and he said, I should kill you. And I smoked $4,000 worth of crack, and I was on my back, and I said, you know what? I said, then kill me, because I ain't got nothing to live for. See, I had to take myself back to what I used to be so I don't get away from what I'm going. You catching what I'm saying? Amen. Amen. God is good. Last scripture. Romans 10 and 11. When you get there, somebody say, praise the Lord. Let's all read it together loud like soldiers. Count of three. One, two, three. For the scripture saith, whoso believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Listen, God will not disgrace you. God will not let you down. Just believe him. That's my message tonight. Just believe him. Believe that he loves you. Believe that he cares for you. Believe that he'll provide for you. Believe that he's your source. Believe that he sees what you're going through and he'll get you out of it. Come on, somebody say amen. Just believe it. Find the word of God and start saying what God says. And all of a sudden you'll see yourself, like the Bible said, Abraham was first called father. Then he became father. So right now, if it seems like you're sick in your body, start saying, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. See, you first call yourself healed and then you become. Are you catching what I'm saying? If your money looking kind of funny, amen. Start saying, my God shall supply all my need according to his. Don't be like, oh my God, look at the economy and look at everything we're going through. And President Obama done dropped the old bomb on us, you know. Don't start doing that. Don't start doing that. Somebody say amen. Catch what I'm saying. Stand to your feet tonight. Give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. You learned something tonight? Tell your neighbor, say, I am a believer. Therefore, I am a receiver. I am a believer. It's mine. I have it now. In Jesus' name. Now, close your eyes.